Good morning. I'll tell you what, today, this sermon, this has really been on my heart this week. And I tell you what, it's amazing when the Lord gives a sermon. I've been hearing so much this week related to the second coming of Jesus and the days of Noah. And Friday night, I went to see the, how many of you know who the Hoppers are, gospel group? Well, the Hoppers were in Marion, and my mom and dad used to literally follow them if they were going to be in the area. Mom and dad would go and see them, and I'd go see them some. And I tell you what, I asked Kim Friday night, I said, would you please sing Shoutin' Time in Heaven tonight? She said, we certainly will. And I tell you what, I saw something that I thought I would never, ever see. There were people there that were Methodists. There were people there that were Baptists. There were people there that were Pentecostal, people that were apostolic. There were so many different, I don't like to use the word religion. I don't like, you know, me, I just don't like religion. I like, we're Christians. We serve God. We don't serve Methodist or this. But anyway, what I thoroughly enjoyed, everybody came together to worship as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the one thing that I saw was there was a lot of love. There was a lot of fellowship going on, a lot of joy. And I tell you what, when they got up there and started singing Shouting Time in Heaven, I was ready to shout my way out of my shoes. And when I left, I bought one of the CDs too, and I thanked Kim and Dean for singing that night. But, you know, I really believe that we are definitely in this time that we're going to see the Lord returning soon. We don't know the day or the hour, but the days are certainly just like they were in the days of Noah. But I believe that things are even worse now than they were then. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39, and I would like to ask you to stand when you get to the Scripture, please. And you'll have to forgive me, I've got this allergy thing going on this morning, so I'm going to try to get my voice through this. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the reading of Your powerful Word. And God, You have put us here as ministers, as fishers of men. And Father God, the mission has never changed. We are not to be doing anything else but witnessing and telling the lost about Jesus. And God, as we know, we are definitely living in these last days. Father, let us go out and move with love to tell others about Jesus so that they will be convicted of their sins. And Father, let us do it in a loving way and in a cherishing way. And Father, we pray this morning that this message will ignite the fire within our hearts and lives, that we will see revival because we desperately need that, Father, in our day today. And now, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from You and nothing from my thoughts or flesh. And we give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you can definitely tell that the signs are everywhere. You can definitely feel it. And now it's gone on for years, that people have said, well, I heard 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 some years ago, Jesus is coming, get ready. Well, I people get a little excited. You read it in the Bible, but definitely there are telltale signs that the Bible points out that point to the end times. And you can definitely see it now. If you watch the news, don't get hooked on the news. Please don't get hooked on the news. But if you do see in the news, we are at a point where Russia and Israel and North Korea and Iraq and Iran, I mean, these countries right there at Gaza, the Palestinians, I mean, there's tension building so much more rapid, and this never happened in the past before. So these countries are coming together because they want to wipe out Israel. They want to wipe out God's people. And widespread around the world, there is so much evil. There is so much hatred. There are so many natural disasters going on in this world. There are famines, pestilences, earthquakes. And I never realized this, but I Googled one day the amount of earthquakes that are going on right now in or upon this earth. And it literally will list how many earthquakes are happening in America, South America, and around the world. And it has increased so much. It's basically as when a woman is getting ready to give birth to a child, she starts having those birth pains and things start to happen before the baby is born. And in right now in our country, right here in America, we see an increase in violence. We see lawlessness. We see kids telling their parents what to do. We see people not even respecting authority. People are walking away from God in every way that they can. People want nothing to do with church. They don't want to hear the message of Jesus Christ preached. Now, people want to hear messages that will tickle their ears. They want to be fluffed and fed, and then they want to go home with a smile on their face. Nobody wants to be challenged anymore in the Lord's house. But if you look at what's going on around us today, it's in the headlines, it's on the news, the wickedness, the immorality. There's increases in drugs. There's increases in alcohol usage, the crime rates. I mean, the hatred. That's one thing you can really see in this country right now is the hatred. And where is that happening? The hatred is happening between different groups of people. Now, I'm going to say this. There's one group that's really on the rise in America, and that's the LGBTQ. Okay? That's on the rise. Basically, it's going on around the world. And it's a very sad thing. But there are so many groups like that that they hate one another, and even Christian, so-called Christian people today are even turning away from the Word of God, and they're starting to latch their claws into other people and their beliefs, ready to rip and shred them apart. And when we see this type of behavior happening, it's like back in the days of Noah. Exactly. Back in the days of Noah, Noah was told by God to build an ark out of beaver wood, and he gave him the dimensions. And here's the thing. It took Noah a very long time, and he's building the ark on dry ground. They had never seen rain before. Rain never fell upon the earth until God put Noah and his family into the ark. And what happened during the time that Noah's building the ark, Noah is telling people about what God's going to do, that there is a flood coming. He is trying to preach to the people salvation. He doesn't want people to be in the flood. He doesn't want to see anybody perish. Because, see, Noah was a man that found favor with God and Noah's family. And that's what God is requiring of you and I today. As Christian people, we should be the ones that we find that same kind of identity that Noah had with God. We should be the kind of people that are out telling others about Jesus. Now, when Noah preached the gospel and when Noah was telling them about the flood, they laughed at him. They said, "It's never rained. What are you talking?" They thought he was crazy. But Noah, he kept on persistently to build the ark. He never gave up. And then what happened? The day came, or just before the flood, God gave Noah specific instructions to take certain animals and put them on the ark and classify them and put them on the certain levels of the ark. How many of you have ever been to the ark encounter over in Kentucky? Has anybody gone to see that ark? Well, Janine and I went, I want to say probably two years ago in December. And I'm telling you what, it makes the entire Bible account, I don't like to say story, it's an account, it's an actual event that happened. It brings it to reality. Because you're in this ark, this massive boat, and you're seeing how detailed everything was because Noah did exactly what God told him to do. And so when they all entered the ark, God closed the door to the ark and he sealed it shut and kept them safe. And the rain started to fall. And guess what the people were doing outside? They were beating on the doors of the ark. They were crying out for Noah to save them. And it was too late. Noah had told them, but they refused to listen. And today, people have gone their own perverse way to live their own life, to live what they think, to live what they believe. And today, we wonder why our churches are dying and closing their doors. Even large churches are starting to have splits. There are men that are leaving the ministry because they have lost the drive. They have lost the fervent compassion that they once had in the pulpit. I think that we as Christian people are relying too much on ourselves today instead of relying on God that put us here. The one thing that I have really seen lately is the rise of murder between young people, children even. The hatredness in children is, I have seen children, some children behave in ways, I would have got my head knocked from the north to the south if I would have acted the way that I see kids acting today. But in the news, young children are taking weapons to school and committing mass murder. And you know why that is, don't you? Because evil has gotten a foothold on our country because there are not enough Christian people that are sharing the love of Jesus Christ with those who are lost and dying and going to hell. I've preached a few weeks ago about how the church is now even starting to accept the idea that maybe certain sins, it's okay to do this or that. It's not. Sin is sin. The Bible tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil, which means run away from sin. We are to be separate from the world. How can we be a light in a dark world if we are trying to blend in with that darkness at the same time trying to shine a light? It doesn't work that way. But back in the day, they had Brother Noah as their preacher. 2 Peter 2:5 says, "And spare not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. See, Noah preached Jesus to the people. He preached repentance. He warned them of judgment to come. They were without excuse, and that's where you and I are today. We're without excuse. We have no excuse for not witnessing. We have no excuse at all. But I hear people, well, I'm too timid. Well, I'm bashful. Or I don't know how. Well, I tell you what, if you feel that way, come and talk to me, and we'll have discipleship training, and we'll do it. And we'll start witnessing. Because I'm telling you what, if God put us here to tell others about Jesus, if you go back and let me say something here real quick. If you go back and read about the parable of the talents, you remember the one servant who took his talent and went and hid it and didn't do anything with it? We don't want to be like that. God has given us talents. God has given us things to do for Him. And if we go and hide those things and don't ever do anything with them, then we're never going to produce fruit in our life. We're never going to be that effective type of witness. But what God has given to us, we need to lay it out before the Lord and say, okay, Father, whatever it is you want to do with me today, here I lay it all before you. Show me where you want me to go and take me to the people that I need to go take your word to today. Now, I've told you that there's places I go sometimes I'm not allowed to talk about Jesus to certain people because we don't want to offend them. That's how bad it's gotten. You know what I do? I talk about Jesus anyway. What are they going to do to me? Hang me up and shoot me or whatever? You know, put me on the Chinese water torture or on a stretcher? I don't think so. But as long as there's breath in my lungs, I want to use the breath that's in those lungs not to curse or not to say the wrong things, but I want to use the breath that's in my lungs to tell others about Jesus and to let them know that He is coming back. And as I said a while ago, we don't know when the Lord's return is coming. Only God the Father knows. I read that to you in Mark chapter 24. Only God the Father knows when Jesus is coming. Jesus doesn't know. But He's going to come like a thief in the night. And what is God going to find us doing? Now, Noah told them about the rain. They laughed. They mocked Him. They scoffed. I'm sure they called Him names. Probably called Him weirdo and who knows what else. And Noah diligently continued to work on the ark. What God told him to do. I'm sure that probably in the back of Noah's mind, there's temptation from the enemy. And I'm sure the devil was coming at him saying, hey, you might as well quit this. You know, you're foolish. You're wasting your time. What are you doing? Building a boat on dry ground. Have you ever seen waterfall from the sky? You remember how the devil tempted Adam and Eve in the garden? He used his crafty words to deceive them. And I'm sure that the devil tried to deceive Noah in every way. But Noah was the kind of man who, when he started something for God, he did not give up. That's why he found favor with God. And when God tells us to do something, we know the people are going to laugh and make fun of us. But you know what? I would rather have people on the face of this earth call me names or whatever they want to do. I would rather have that and gain heaven than to try to make friends with the world and lose what I have for all of eternity. How about you this morning? That's something we should really think about. But see, the moment that Noah and his family, the animals, were all safe in the ark and God shut the door, it started to rain. And the rain came for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the world was completely destroyed. I saw something this week. It was actually the day after I texted you the sermon outline. That I was reading where the floodwaters were at least 40 feet above the mountaintops. 40 feet above the mountaintops. How many of you have ever stood at the base of a mountain and looked up? Has anybody ever been to a mountain? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. Now, I've seen Gatlinburg. I've seen the mountains in Gatlinburg and Lookout Mountain over there in Tennessee. I've never been out west to see those grand mountains. But I've stood in Gatlinburg and I've looked up. And I've looked, and I'll tell you what, it's pretty high up there. And I'm trying to imagine 40 feet of water up above the mountaintops. And here's the thing. God kept them safe in that ark. Now, don't you think that God's going to keep us safe during the storms of life? When the rain falls? When the storms pound and beat up against our ark? Don't you think that God's going to keep us safe? And here's what I hear a lot of the time. Well, I really don't want to witness because I don't want to offend somebody. Really? You don't want to offend somebody? Well, I've got these friends, you see, and we hang out together. We play golf, or we go fishing, or we have coffee, or we do things. You know, if I start telling them about Jesus, they're going to think I'm weird, and then they're not going to want to hang out with me. You know what I would do? I'd give them all a pat on the back and say, if you guys turn away from me, see you later. But I want you to know Jesus loves you. And you know what I'd do? I'd go find myself some quiet time with God, and I would say, Heavenly Father, I want you to send me some friends who are crazy like me, that are on fire, that are not afraid to witness, because I'm here to tell the world about Jesus. And you know what? I'm picking up my cross, and I'm going to walk with the Lord. And if people follow, that's fine. If not, then, you know, I'm sorry. It's on them. But I'm going to tell them in love. And I'm going to share with them the time that's to come. Because you know what? We could be here right now having church, and that trumpet would sound, and Jesus appear in that sky, and He called all of His children out of here. How many sitting in churches right now would be left behind? Here's a grim reality I want to give to you. Do you know there are a lot of people who go to church but don't even know Jesus? They think they are going to heaven, but they've never publicly accepted Him as Lord and Savior of their life. But they've been taught some bent, twisted way, and they start thinking, well, I'm a good old Joe, or I'm a good Mary, whatever I am, and I'm going to slide right in. I'm going to grease my feet and slide right on through the pearly gates. It don't work that way. But yet, that's what people in churches think today. People think that they can go to church, have their social time, and then go out and live the rest of the week like they're the devil's companion. And I'm preaching some truth here. Live like the devil's companion during the week, but then on Sunday they're back in church. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And oh, amen. And yep, boy, and Monday come around and they're right back. Come on, devil, let's get at it again this week. What are we going to do? There are seriously Christian people who are living, I don't even want to call them Christian people, because Christian means Christ-like. And if we are Christ-like, then His love is going to show within us. You're going to know people by their works. You're going to know them by the fruit that they bear. Did you know you can look in people's eyes and tell what's going on? How many of you ever know that? Yeah. I don't know. That's a gift from the Lord. I've been able to look at people, and I've been able to see, like, when there's pain in or trouble in their eyes. And I've had multiple times, hospitals or wherever, go up to a complete stranger, and the Lord says, I want you to go pray for them. I want you to go talk to them. I want you to show them love. And a complete stranger walk up to them and just start talking to them. I don't go up and go, hey, I'm Reverend Jim Cooper, and I'm a pastor, and blah, blah, blah. And hey, did you know Jesus died for... I don't go like that. I go up and take the love of the Lord, and with the gentle and a meek heart, I just start to talk to them and get to know them. And then when I get to know them a little bit, then I start sharing a little bit and start asking them about, do they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? And I ask them, if you were to die right now, are you certain of where you would spend eternity? And if they tell me no, there's the open door to witness. But people will not believe. Let me turn over real quick to 2 Peter. I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. So, people today, where is Jesus? Where is this Savior you talk about? Well, we don't know the day or the hour. And there's people who are going to challenge you. There are people who will ask questions or who will make fun of you. And you know what it does to a lot of Christians? It shames them and they go away. That's why I say it's so important. Get into the Word of God and have a relationship with Jesus. Because when you read the Word and you study it and you feed upon it, it becomes a part of you. And when you have a healthy prayer life that you're praying, the Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. Did you know you can drive your car and pray? Now, don't bow your head and close your eyes while you're at the wheel of the car. But you can drive your car and you can talk to the Lord. Every morning that I get up and I leave, have to go somewhere, I get in my little truck and I say, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. And I just talk to God. And I just thank Him. And I'm sure that if I'm sitting at a stoplight and there ain't nobody on my passenger side sitting and my mouth is just going like that, they might look over and think, well, that guy's a weird nut because he's sitting in his truck talking to himself. Half the time, I'm on the phone with Janine and we're praying because sometimes, you know, she's not up when I'm up early and then gone. So sometimes when she's up, she'll text or call and we pray together on the phone. But I make sure that I try to spend that time of the morning with the Father. And then in the afternoon, I'm guilty of it. There's times I let things get too busy or too clouded, and I don't get to spend that time. But in the evening, I want to make sure I have prayer time with the Father. Because, see, when we have a balanced relationship with God and He's in control, then we're going to be able to witness. We're not going to fall to the temptations of the enemy. You remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan came and tempted Him. You know what Jesus said to Satan? It is written. And He would quote Scripture. Do you know that if you had memorized and quote Scripture instead of our favorite country song or our favorite pop song or whatever, if we would start quoting the Word of the Lord when the enemy comes up against us, if we quote the Word, that the devil will leave us alone, he will flee. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You don't have to stomp your feet and shout and scream at the enemy. All you have to do, submit to God and resist the devil. The Bible says he will flee. That's all you have to do. And when we spend time with the Lord where we connect with Him, I'm telling you what, you are going to be a witnessing powerhouse. Now, every single one of us will witness in a way. Here's what's most important when we tell people about Jesus. we have to let the Holy Spirit talk through us. If I depended upon myself to talk, man, we'd be chasing a rabbit around the tree. And it would probably, somebody would be scratching their head going, "What, you know, can you make sense of what he's talking about?" No. But if I let the Holy Spirit lead and speak through me, then I know that the right words are going to come out. And I know that when the Holy Spirit moves and speaks through me, I know that that person's heart is going to have a seed planted, and I know that that word is not going to come back void. God says His word will not come back void. That's how powerful His word is. If we speak the word, if we speak life to people, if we witness and tell people about Jesus in these last days, then we will see people come to Christ. But right now in America and even around the world with a lot of Christians, you know what people are saying? Well, things are just getting worse and there ain't nothing we can do about it, so we might as well just sit back and let it happen. Are you kidding me? We act like sometimes that Jesus is still in the tomb. And Jesus is alive. He came out on the third day, risen, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and His shed blood was poured out upon the mercy seat of heaven that we could come to God, that we could live a joyous, victorious life. Not a life of defeat. But yet people, well, this is how I was raised. Well, forget about how you were raised. Now, if you were raised in a good Christian home, you were raised in the Word of God, and that's what sticks with you, go for it. You stick with the Lord. But if you've learned anything opposite of the Bible, and you're a Christian, don't go around, "Well, this is how I was raised," or "This is what I believe." It ain't about you. It ain't about me. This is about Jesus Christ. And in these last days, we should be compassionate and we should be driven and motivated in our hearts to go out and witness and tell others about Jesus. When we took the shoe boxes down to Cobden, what was that, the end of November? Yeah. I was overwhelmed with emotion at the amount of boxes. And I want you to know that something like that is the greatest witnessing tool. Maybe some of us can't go to a foreign country, but when we send a Christmas shoebox of love and a child gets it, you know what they see? They see the love of the Lord. They're saying in their little heart, "Somebody took the time because they love me to send this box, and this is what I've received." And I've watched the videos, and if you could see the faces of those children receiving that gift, they're so happy and excited, they dance with joy. And some of them cry because they've never been given something so nice. And if we would love the lost in the same way and give them the gift of love and share it with them, and they get saved, it's going to cause them to be joyful to the point that they're going to say, "Somebody loved me enough to share the gospel, and now I'm saved, and now my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to heaven." That's what it's about. That's what we're here for. I don't know how many other preachers this morning around the world are preaching the message of Jesus Christ in the pulpit, but I hope they are, and I hope that pastors around this world today are preaching to the Christian people in the church, encouraging them to be fishers of men in these last days. Because friends, I can tell you clearly, Jesus is coming. You can look all around. It's very evident. And I can say this. I heard people say it for years, but I never really felt it in my heart. I didn't feel like after studying in the Word, prophecy, I've studied some prophecy over the years, but I never felt that things were really there. But now when you look at it, oh my, I mean, Russia threatening nuclear weapons. But people are responding in fear right now to the news. And Jesus wants us to live triumphantly. Jesus wants us to live without fear. It doesn't matter what the world's doing. But I tell you what, when Jesus comes back, what is He going to find us doing? Is He going to find us like in the days of Noah? Are we going to be safe in the ark because we've been telling people about Jesus? Are we going to be in safety? Are we going to be taken on to heaven? Or are we going to look at our life? Can you look at your life right now and say, oh, wow, I haven't been doing what the Lord wants me to do, and I need to get this straight. I need to get it right. Well, today's a day of salvation. I always tell people, you might be sitting in church, you've probably gone to church your whole life and said, well, I'm good. If you don't know Jesus, you're not good. You're not getting into heaven. Every person who doesn't know Jesus has made a decision. And when they stand before the Lord God, He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And there's going to be some people who've called themselves Christians who said, well, Lord, didn't we, go and visit the sick? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these things in your name? Cast out demons? Didn't we do all these things in your name? But those who don't know Jesus Christ, Jesus will say, I never knew you. But those who have accepted Jesus Christ and are living the life that the Lord wants them to live. Now, I'm telling you, yes, we make mistakes, but you can't live by your past mistakes. You can't look forward to the next mistake. What you got to live is you've got to live your faith in the Lord. Because I'm telling you what, when Jesus comes back, I'm going up. How about you? I know I am. I know I am. I've got that. Oh, like I said, Friday night, I was ready. I was ready to go up heaven shouting with the sound of that song. Because I know that one day I'm going to cross that river. And when I get on the other side, shouting time in heaven.